This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown. We're broadcasting from Waco today. Catch it on TV last night? You know what we're talking about, right? Yes, yes, indeed. The Chicago Cubs beat the Dodgers to tie the National League Championship Series at 2 apiece. Oh, I do think there was something else on TV, too.
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time.
But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund.
But we have some bad hombres here, and we're going to get them out.
And 1,000 memes were born. Merriam-Webster, the folks behind the dictionaries, they reported that the search for hombre, the Spanish term for man, spiked 120,000% over its hourly average following the third and final presidential debate. Jennifer Murcia was watching all this. She's associate professor in the Department of Communication at Texas A&M. Thanks for speaking with the Standard.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
As a scholar of political rhetoric and as a Texan, let's talk hombre for just a moment. It came up in a discussion of immigration, Donald Trump referencing some bad hombres who come to the U.S. illegally. In the aftermath, and certainly online, many were saying that that was an offensive term, others saying that people taking offense were just being too politically correct. But in Texas, there is this history of people sort of bouncing back and forth between languages, right? I mean, Spanglish. How do you read this?
Yeah, I definitely heard it as a cartoonish portrayal of immigrants. So, yeah, I don't know that I was offended exactly, but I did think that it sounded weird. And my thought was to wonder if there was some connection to perhaps the alt-right with their Pepe the Frog or some other kind of connection between the discourse community that Donald Trump was trying to address and that term bad hombre.
One of the interesting things here, and a point that a lot of Trump's supporters have made, is that he talks off the cuff, that when people try to attribute to him certain sort of calculated dog whistles and that sort of thing, that that's taking it a bit too far. Is that a fair rejoinder?
I think that he does talk off the cuff, but he is also incredibly strategic about what he does. So I've been watching him since December very closely. I'm writing a book about his rhetoric. He uses certain rhetorical fallacies regularly. So argument ad populum is appeal to the wisdom of the crowd. He does that. Argument ad hominem is insulting the audience, insulting your opponent. He definitely does that. He uses paralipses where he says, I'm not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. Right. So he uses all these strategies consistently, which tells me that even if he's speaking off the cuff, he does have a kind of strategic plan.
Well, let me talk about the ad hominem factor here. At one point in the debate, as Hillary Clinton was taking a jab at Donald Trump's taxes or lack thereof, he spoke over her, saying, such a nasty woman. I wonder if the impact of this goes beyond the politics of the moment, maybe into the larger conversation that America's having about gender and language, you know, how words are used to shut down the impact of women's voices. Or do you think that's taking it too far?
No, I think that that's right. And so when he uses ad hominem, particularly that one that he used last night, which was absolutely about gender, it's always to suggest that the attack or the attacker has no standing, has no credibility, isn't worth addressing. Right. So when he says, oh, you're just a nasty woman, I don't have to listen to you, I don't have to respond to you, it is absolutely gendered. Right. He treats anyone who criticizes him as an enemy and as someone who is irrational and unworthy of responding to.
Thinking about Texas's role in this race, many polls now showing the gap closing between Mr. Trump and Secretary Clinton. Do you think last night's rumble moved the needle here?
Well, anecdotally, I had 80 students watching the debate last night, and I know that 3 of them changed their minds over the course of the debate. They didn't say which direction they changed. One student said that she felt more confident. You know, she was going to vote anyway for a certain person and then decided that she really wanted to vote for that person. And so I think that the more we hear from Hillary Clinton, the more opportunity she has to sort of lay out her agenda. My students last night also thought that she spoke more to the general American population, particularly those in the middle and even on the right. And they thought that that was a kind of welcoming strategy, trying to appeal to the whole country. And maybe that would appeal to Texans.
Very interesting analysis. Thank your students for us. Jennifer Murcia is associate professor in the Department of Communication at Texas A&M. We appreciate you taking time to join us on The Standard.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.